Romans chapter 5, and let's begin with a word of prayer as we get into the word. Are you ready? Father, we thank you today that you're here with us, you're mending broken hearts, you're turning lives around. We thank you that you're making change, Father. You're causing repentance to come in every area of our life as the word is going forth. We thank you for this life-giving word that the Holy Spirit is in us, empowering us to live what you've put in us, Lord. We thank you for the atoning promises in your word regarding healing, Jesus, that it is our bread today, and we take hold of it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, at the end of the service, I am going to have a time of prayer for those of you that need healing in your bodies. We will pray for you, lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. So just get your faith ready for that. Amen. Let's begin reading in verse 8 of chapter 5 in Romans. I'm reading from the King James Version. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And verse 11, finally. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom ye have now received, or we have now received, the atonement. Say the atonement.
The atonement.
The atonement. This is our focus as we start off this morning. The atonement. The Bible says there's a lot to chew on in all those verses. I know I went pretty quick through it. My main focus is verse 11, the atonement. Amen. Let's read it one more time, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Let me talk for just a moment about the atonement. First of all, I want to tell you this teaching is entitled today, Five Truths About Healing. Five Truths About Healing. So if you're taking notes, I'm going to go over five main points, if we get that far. Today may only be 2 points, but we'll see where the Holy Ghost takes us. Amen. But the first point is, number one, healing is in the atonement.
Yes. Amen.
Healing is in the atonement. What do I mean by that? The atonement means this, a basic definition of atonement, because that's not a word we use every day. You know, your child makes you mad and so you must be atoned. We don't say that very often around our house. But we are familiar with this idea of reconciliation. Amen, reconciliation. So reconciliation, in other words, a child messes up their bedroom, the parent rebukes them, says, hey, that's a mess in here. I can't even stand to walk in here. The child a few minutes later goes in and straightens the room and all is well. Amen. What have they done? They've just reconciled the situation. There's been atonement made. Now, the atonement came at their cost. Amen. They had to do the picking up. They had to do the straightening up. But the atonement came and the reconciliation was made. So if you want to put in parentheses or somehow underline the idea, atonement equals reconciliation. Amen. And let me say this about reconciliation. This kind of reconciliation, when we talk about atonement in the Bible, it involves suffering equal to the injury. Suffering equal to the injury. In other words, this, your sin and my sin cost God something. Did you know that? It's good for us to be reminded of that now and then, isn't it? Salvation didn't come at a cheap price. Jesus suffered. When we sin, God suffers. Amen? Even as believers, God's heart suffers. But praise God, there's been a price paid, amen, a price equal to the injury, and that price was made. That's what verse 11 is saying. The atonement has come through Christ Jesus. Don't overlook little words by, like by or through. Those are very significant words. Let's read it again in Romans 5, 11. Still got it up there?
Yeah,
there we go. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? Say, by whom?
By.
See, he paid the price, amen? You injured God, Jesus paid the price. That's what salvation is all about. That's why it's called good news. We hurt God, Jesus paid the price. By whom? That's that key phrase right there. If you have a pen or highlighter, underline that in your Bible. By whom? By Jesus, we have now received the atonement.
Amen.
The reconciliation. Amen? You know, God told Adam, he said, in the day you eat the fruit, the forbidden fruit, you will die. Well, what's die? Adam must have thought, what's die? All I've known is life for eons of years. We're not sure what year Adam actually sinned, but the Bible tells us clearly that he lived to 930 years. And it also tells us in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter made the comment, he said, to the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. Interesting, isn't it? God said, in the day you eat, you will die, man. And no man, no human has ever lived beyond 1,000 years. Did you know that? a little Bible trivia there for you. I think Methuselah was like 965, something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Adam was 930. Nobody ever went beyond 1,000. In other words, they died within that day, within that 1,000 years in God's mind. They died in the day that they ate the fruit. Well, fear, guilt, shame, all these things came in. All that immediately rushed in, amen, when Adam ate the fruit. Disease worked its way in. We're not sure what year. But, you know, disease is really like a precursor to death. Disease unchecked becomes death. You might say it this way. Disease is incipient death. It's like the beginning stages of death. And going unchecked, our human body is meant to resist disease and fight off disease. But if it doesn't do that properly, and that's really all doctors can do is help the body do what it's naturally made to do. Amen. Honest doctors will tell you up front, I can't heal anybody. Amen. God designed the human body to heal itself. We just aid in that process. But disease became the way that death occurred. And so, you know, probably around year 925, 928, something happened funny in Adam's kidneys or his liver or something. Something began to break down. And before you knew it, Adam died. Disease is the physical penalty of sin. I want you, in this first point, healing is in the atonement. I want to tie together this idea that disease is related to sin. Amen? Disease is the physical penalty of sin. Jesus bore our sins, so judiciously he released us from that penalty. Let me say that again. Jesus bore our sin, so judiciously, in other words, righteously, according to the law, he released us from the penalty that was due us. Can you say amen? Can you say hallelujah? Isn't that good news? Even now, when you sin, you run back to Romans 5:11. By whom? In other words, Jesus paid the price. Jesus cleaned my bedroom. He paid the reparation. He paid the price for the injury to be healed, to be reconciled with God. That's what atonement means. When we were in Bible school, they said it this way. Atonement means at-one-ment. At-one-ment. If you break the word up, you see that word atonement? Just put a hyphen between at and one and meant. Amen. Atonement means you've been put at one again with God. Amen? That's a real simple way to understand atonement. Let me say it this way. Hope you write this down. No sin, no sickness. Amen? If sin had not ever entered the world, would there have ever been death? No. Would there have ever been sickness? No, because sickness is the precursor to death. Sickness is what leads or breaks down our body to lead to death. But where there's no sin, no sickness. Amen. Hallelujah. We're talking about healing. And healing is in the atonement. And since the atonement took care of our sin, the atonement takes care of our... You got it. Passed the test. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Let me say it this way. Forgiveness and healing go together. Forgiveness and healing go together. Look in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15 in verse 22. Exodus is the second book in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 15 verse 22. Hallelujah. Faith is coming. As you're hearing the word, your faith is rising. Just want to remind you. Your faithometer is going. Our washing machine started making a funny noise yesterday. It started going. It's kind of funny. We were just laughing. But that's what your faithometer is doing right now. It's just faith is rising as you're hearing the word. Exodus 15, 22. And that washing machine is blessed. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went there 3 days in the wilderness. They found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter. Very good. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Isn't that an interesting analogy? A tree. Think of where was Jesus crucified? On a tree. He showed him a tree, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Hallelujah. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am, say it with me, the Lord that healeth thee. And in the Hebrew text, if you look at that phrase, the Lord that healeth thee, it is the word Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, or we would say the Lord our healer. Amen? Say that with me. Jehovah, Rapha. Rapha. And in that word Rapha is the idea of rest. Did you know part of healing in your body is rest? God has connected the two. When you're at rest, your body can function. It can mend itself. That's why sleep does such amazing things. Amen. I love a good nap. But sleep is amazing. In sleep, our body is rested. And in that idea of Rapha is both the idea of healing and rest. Listen, if the devil can't get you sick, he'll get you stressed. Why? Because when you're in unrest, dis-ease, what follows dis-ease? Disease. Amen. Satan's ploy for you and I is to get us in dis-ease, which will be followed by disease. But he says here, I am the Lord that heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. Notice this is the first revealed name of God out of Egypt. They had just come through the Red Sea. They've just come out of Egypt, which represents salvation. Amen. The first thing that God revealed to them, fresh out of the gate, he said, number one, I'm the God who heals you. I forgave you. And Egypt represents coming out of sin, coming out of the world, coming out of our darkness. So God says, once you got saved, I forgave you and I healed you. Amen. Forgiveness and healing go together. Look at another verse with me, please, in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. This is a favorite of mine, Psalm 103. It's kind of why I have the itch to live to at least 103. It's just a good number. Amen. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. If you have it in the King James, read it out loud with me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? That is, to me, that's the quintessential verse that ties sickness and forgiveness, or I should say forgiveness and sickness. Let me say it this way. Forgiveness and healing together. Amen. Psalm 103:3. He forgiveth all our iniquities. He healeth all our diseases. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want you to be firm in this idea that atonement, that at one moment, when you were made one with God, not only did he forgive your sins, he healed all your diseases. Amen. That atonement, healing is in the atonement. It's all included in the package. It's like certain things. You buy a certain item at a store and it's included in the package. Amen. It's just like an included accessory. I love it when I buy an electronic device and the batteries are already in there. Aren't you glad? That's great. You know, in the old days, you always had to, oh, do we have those batteries? Oh, you can't even enjoy your present, you know, at Christmas Day because you don't have the right battery for it. But it's great when the battery is included. I'm telling you, saints, when you got saved, healing was included. Amen. Amen. Healing is included as part of your forgiveness. Point number two, and like I said, I don't know if I'll get through all five of these, but here we go. Point number two. Not only is healing in the atonement, but it is God's will. Say, it is God's will.
To heal all.
Let me say it again. It is God's will to heal all. What do I mean by that? Well, if it's in the atonement, if it's God's will that all be forgiven, then it's God's will that all be healed. Amen. Why would he hold sickness over someone's head if he's already forgiven them their sins? Listen, you could be assured of that. If I'm forgiven, I'm healed. Amen. If there's no cause for sin in me, if Jesus paid the penalty, we've just read it in Romans 5:11, through the atonement, amen, through the at-one-ment, Jesus paid the price. By whom? The price was paid. Amen. Jesus suffered equal to our injury to God. Therefore, healing should follow. Amen. If all have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus, then rightfully all should be healed. In other words, it is God's will to heal all. It is so important that we be certain of this. So important. This is the greatest hindrance of faith you'll find in Christianity when it comes to healing, is that people feel uncertain at times whether it's God's will to heal them. Sometimes they think God's teaching them a lesson. Or God's got them going through a trial. Listen, there is no such thing as sickness as part of your trial. In God's mind. No such thing. If he provided for it in the atonement, he dealt with it at the cross through the forgiveness of sins, through the healing power of Jesus' stripes, then it is God's will for you to be healed always. Amen. He doesn't need sickness to put you through a trial. He can find other ways. Amen. Other ways. And believe me, he'll find them. usually through coworkers. That's a real good way to put you through a trial. But, that, you know, that's just trying your flesh. Amen? That's not trying anything in you that doesn't need to be burned out anyways. Let me read this statement to you. This is not original, but it's really good. Nearly everyone believes God heals some, but that's quite different from knowing that healing is for all. You could ask a lost person on the street, do you believe God heals people sometimes? Oh yeah, sometimes that happens, but not always. See, most people believe God sometimes heals, but do most people believe it's God's will to always heal? Now that's a whole different level of faith. And a lot of times, well, most of the time, what people base that faith or lack thereof on is experience. Well, you know, I had a friend who died. I'm sorry. You know, people use experience to form their doctrine instead of being sure on their doctrine and allowing that to shape their world. If it's God's will to forgive all through the blood of Jesus, it's God's will to heal all. Amen. Write this down if you're taking notes. It's impossible. It's impossible to boldly claim by faith a blessing we're not sure God offers. It's impossible to boldly claim by faith a blessing we're not sure that God offers. You can't be bold when you come before God and say, Lord, I need a touch in my body. You can't be bold if in the back of your mind you're going, you know, I messed up yesterday. Maybe this is just due me. Well, remember what we said in Romans 5:11. The atonement covered your injury, right? Your sin, yes. You injured God with your sin, even as a believer. But sickness has no right to hold you, even when you sin, because of the atonement. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
By whom? By Jesus.
Amen.
The price was paid. You don't have to pay the price, even when you sin. That's good news.
Amen.
Even as a believer, don't allow the enemy to hold you in a place of, I deserve this. No, because of Jesus, you don't.
Amen.
Healing is for all. Let me say it this way. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You must be certain of it. Faith begins, or faith is founded, grounded, sure, where the will of God is known. You must know in your heart. You must settle it in your heart. God's will is to heal everybody all the time, and that includes me, even if I've messed up. Amen? If you're sure of that, then your faith can go forward. If you're not sure what the will of God is, and I'll tell you the biggest religious faith-killing phrase we can pray when we're praying for somebody that's come up for healing, it's got some sickness in their life, is, if it be thy will. Have you ever heard that? Ooh, that's a killer. That is a killer. Listen, you can pray that about other things. Lord, I've got two job propositions facing me. Direct me into your will. That's a different thing altogether. When it comes to healing, it's always God's will to heal you. It's always God's will. Why? Because he forgave us at the cross. He forgave all our sins. He heals all our diseases. It's always God's will to heal. Never pray that, if it be thy will to heal me. That is a faith killer. It will doom you in your faith. You might as well not get prayer because you're not sure. You're not settled. Be settled on the issue. It is always God's will to heal because of Jesus. Amen? Because of Jesus. Look at a few verses here so we can settle this scripturally. Acts 10, verse 36. Acts 10, 36. We'll go real quickly through these. But I want you to have scripture for everything I'm telling you today. Don't believe it just because I said it. In fact, don't believe anything just because a preacher says it.
Amen.
It doesn't make him the authority. This is your authority right here.
Amen.
Make sure it's in the book. That's why we're reading it. Acts 10, 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. Peace comes by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, that's the southern part of Israel, and began from Galilee, that's the northern part, that's where Jesus lived, after the baptism which John preached. Now, verse 38, this is key. How God, read it out loud with me if you have King James, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. How many?
All.
all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When it comes to sickness, healing ministry, know this. If there's sickness in the room and you've just walked in as a believer, God's with you. And he's with you to heal that person that's oppressed by the devil. Amen. You don't have to say, Father, is it your will to heal this person? It's always God's will to heal that person. Amen. But the Holy Ghost may have some specific instructions for you, but you must know in your heart, it's God's will to heal. He's always with you on that matter. That's why I love that phrase. For God was with him. God was with him. He was backing Jesus. And as God was backing Jesus, he healed how many? He healed all. Amen. Underline that word all. Circle it. Highlight it. Put a red flag around it. Jesus, when he walked the earth, healed all. Matthew 8. Let's look at Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17. Matthew 8. Matthew 8, 16. Matthew 8, 16 says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him, unto Jesus, many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And he healed all that were sick. There's that word again. Tiny words in the Bible have lots of power, by the way. He healed all that were sick. Amen. And this happened over and over again in Jesus' earthly ministry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all talk about Jesus healing all. You'll find that many times. Read on. Now, that it might be, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. By the way, Isaiah is considered, his prophetic book in the Old Testament is considered the fifth gospel, in case you didn't know it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Isaiah is considered the fifth gospel, and particularly chapter 53, the quintessential chapter on atonement, Isaiah 53. It talks through and through about atonement. But Isaiah is considered the fifth gospel about Jesus. Let's read it here in verse 17 again. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, quote, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I know I quote this, it's kind of cheesy, but I love that commercial from years ago, the scrubbing bubbles. We work hard so you don't have to. Remember that? Little bubbles. It always comes to mind when I read a verse like this. Jesus bore our sickness so we don't have to, you know? It's the truth. He bore your pain. When pain tries to hit your body, you remind pain, he bore my pain. Amen. Verse 17 again. Let's read it real slow. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, quote, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Oh, that word himself is so powerful. Jesus was alone, all alone there on that lightning rod of a cross when he bore your sin. He didn't have any help, didn't have any assistance, didn't have anyone standing nearby going, yeah, go, Jesus, go. He was there by himself. What courage. Amen. You want to know a courageous fella? It's not the guy who hits the home run in the ninth inning and the gripping last minutes of the ball game. I mean, I know it does take courage to do that too. But the ultimate act of courage is Jesus on the cross. Himself. Amen. Himself. Just him and the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost there by his side, helping him, the grace of God, lifting him, enabling him, and himself bore your sickness. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. Now, I want to ask you this question. How do we know that Jesus took their infirmities here in Matthew chapter 8? How do we know that he fulfilled this verse from Isaiah? How do we know that he truly is the Messiah that came and fulfilled this promise from Isaiah 53? Because of the previous verse. He healed all. Mm-hmm. He fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy by healing all. Amen. And you can say that over your own life. Jesus fulfills Isaiah's prophecy in me by healing all my disease. Amen. Don't let any disease linger. Listen, one of the enemy's favorite tactics with sickness, and I'll tell you with Christians too, is to give you a long-term something or other. You know, some kind of condition in your body, it's just been there for years. Jesus bore that condition himself. Amen. And he wants to heal all. Don't let anything slide under the wire. Don't let the devil cause you to sign for something. In fact, another one of his favorite tactics is to get you taking ownership of that thing. You know, my backache, my bad knee. Whose bad knee? You got a good knee. Jesus paid the price for you to have good knees. Amen. Don't buy that thing. That's why I said, get that book on the way out, the confession book. Careful what you say. With your mouth, you take ownership of that disease, that condition, that long-term thing that's been with you a long, long time. Let it go. Jesus himself bore your pain, bore your sickness. You need not bear it anymore. One more verse on this point. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. This is so powerful. I want you to see this. This is really good because you'll have people challenge you on this. You tell someone you believe it's always God's will to heal and to heal all. I guarantee you the religious, you know, nuts will come out of the woodwork when you bring up that idea. And this is story in Luke chapter 5 shows us exactly how that plays out. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Look at it with me, please. Luke 5, 17. It came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law. Oh, man, that sounds intimidating, doesn't it? Not just master's degree, doctors of the law. I mean, these were experts sitting by, which were come out of every town in Galilee, from all over, Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal who?
Them.
These guys, these experts, these persecutors, these religious, bound up people, God, the Bible says so compassionately, God's power was there even to heal them. All right, look at verse 18. And behold, men brought a man on a bed which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. But when they couldn't find a way in, they, because of the multitude, they went up to the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. That's season 1, episode 6 of The Chosen, by the way. In verse 20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees, all these experts, began to reason, saying, who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, saying, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, talking to the sick man, arise, take up your couch, and go into your house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that which he laid on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And then they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Well, I guess so. They had seen nothing like that before. Wow, isn't that powerful? I love this story. And what it shows you is this. God's power was present to heal all. I'm sure there were some Pharisees, some older, retired rabbis in their midst, these doctors of the law that had been walking best they could, but they didn't have a born-again nature. They had sin in their lives, and because of sin, what comes in? Sickness. They had backaches. They had foot problems. They had, you know, allergies. They had, you know, all kinds of things, crazy things. And the power of God that day was present to heal them, but none of them got healed except this man that came down through the roof. And so they might be left to wonder, well, maybe it's just not God's will for us to heal us. No, that's the way the religious mind thinks. You know, some people, God's for some, he's not for all. No, Jesus comes with atonement in his hands, and he forgives all, and he heals all. Amen. Glory to God. He is for all. Amen. All right. Point number 3. We'll see how far we get in this today. Point number 3. So point number 1 is what?
Healing
is in the atonement. Point number 2 is what? It's God's will to heal all. And number 3, healing is a finished work. Healing is a finished work. That is, it's done. It's done. When Jesus exclaimed, finished, because as I understand it in the Greek language, when he cried out, it is finished, in the actual language, he actually said one word, finished. And when Jesus finished the work for your atonement and mine, not only did he pay for our sins, he paid for our sicknesses, our diseases. He cried out, finished. Your atonement is completed in full. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
It's completed in full. Forgiveness and healing. We've had very little understanding of this, but I want to bring out this point, and I don't have time to belabor it today, but I just want to say this. There are hints of it throughout the epistles. Paul had an idea of this. He understood how this worked, how that the gospel brings this idea that it's finished already, even before you received it. Are you with me? Now, that doesn't mean that all creation will be saved. Jesus died for the whole world, but they must receive it. But I'm telling you, at the time that you receive it, it didn't become yours because you received it at that moment. It was yours. It was given you at the cross.
Yes.
And that's a mystery. That's a mystery. But our faith reaches out like a deposit, a withdrawal slip at the bank and just says, I know I got $1,000 in my bank. Let's have it. Mm-hmm. That's what faith does. But it was there before you ever put that slip in the tube. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example of this. Ephesians 1:13. I want to read it. And Alan, if you can pull that up for me, please. Ephesians 1:13 in the New International Version. Ephesians 1:13. Go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. But if you don't have the New International, I want you to see it in this version. It's really good in this translation. And you also, Ephesians 1:13. You also were included in Christ when you heard, listen how the phrasing is here, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Stop right there. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. So they heard it. What did they hear? The good news of their salvation.
Amen.
Even before they received it, even before they said yes to it, in a sense, the good news was you're saved. You say, well, they hadn't said yes yet. I know, but the cross saved them.
Amen.
Atonement saved them. They only had to say yes. Mm-hmm. You see how it works there in the New Covenant? You were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. It's like someone saying, you know, it's like someone coming up to you and saying, you're a lotto winner and you didn't play the lotto, but you've already won. It's kind of that idea. You don't even buy a ticket. I'm not endorsing lotto, by the way. I'm just saying that's the example that comes to mind. But he said here, you heard the word of truth. The word of truth is salvation. You heard the gospel of your salvation. You heard that it's a done deal because of the cross. And another verse in Ephesians says, let's flip over there. We're so close. Got to read it. Ephesians 4:32. We've been talking about love is kind. This verse goes right along with the love series we were just on last month. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says in another place in Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5:19, I believe it is, he says, God was not holding men's sins against them any longer. So when you bring the message of the gospel to a sinner, they don't get forgiven because they fall on their knees and pray the sinner prayer. They've already been forgiven because of Jesus. Are you with me?
Amen.
This is how the gospel works. Now, they must say yes to it. Don't think I'm confused about that part of it. I know they have to, you know, say, yes, I'm a sinner. I need to receive this. But they were saved because Jesus died on the cross, not because they did anything special besides. Amen? That's what I mean. So healing, let's go back to our topic here. Healing is a finished work. It's done. Your healing was done before you said yes to it. That's what I'm saying. Before you got sick, you were healed. Let me say that again. Before you got sick, you were healed.
Yes.
Because of the work of the cross. Because of the atonement, you've already been healed, even before you caught the sniffles. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to bring out there in Ephesians 1:13. You heard the good news of your salvation, that you've already been saved. And then you said, yes, we should have read the verses after that, but it did say, and having believed, you were marked with the Holy Ghost. Amen? So there is a believing that's required in order to partake. I understand that. But you were saved because of the atonement, even before you said yes. That's the point. Healing is a done deal. Let's look at one other verse in Acts 10. We're going to go back to Acts again. Acts 10:43. Are you with me? This is life to all your flesh, the word of God today. I'm giving you medicine here. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Now, Peter's preaching in Cornelius' house. Cornelius is a Gentile Roman soldier. And Peter, by the angel of God, was instructed to go to his house and preach the gospel. He would have never set foot under a Gentile's roof otherwise. But it says here in verse 43, to him, talking about Jesus, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, through the name of Jesus, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. At the time they believe, they receive it. But when was the remission of sins given? At the cross. It's already been given. Look at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them. I love that. Which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, in other words, the Jewish people that were with Peter, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can any forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry or stay with them a couple more days. The point here is that these Gentiles received while they were hearing. And the Bible says when Peter spoke these words, what words? That their sins had been forgiven. See, that's really the message we bring lost people. Your sins have already been taken care of. That's the good news. That's what we bring them. We say, because of Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. And they go, really? Then they repent. They change their mind in how they view God. That's what repentance truly is. I'll preach another message on that another time. True repentance. They change their mind. True repentance is actually seeing things differently. Having a change of mind in how they view God. And Peter, it says here that while Peter was speaking these words, the words of forgiveness, that the Holy Ghost fell. In other words, they believed in their heart. They received right then and boom, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you ever notice that Jesus, when he's ministering healing to people, he oftentimes asked them to do the impossible? With the man with the withered hand, he said, stretch forth your hand. Well, if you were that guy, you'd probably looked at him going, I can't, it's withered. But Jesus said, stretch it forth. Do what you can't do, because amen. When Jesus comes on the scene, sickness flees.
That's it. That's right.
He said, I am the resurrection. Where he is, sin and death can't coexist. That's why he would look at the man and say that. In another case, we just read it a little bit ago in Luke chapter 5. He told the man that was paralyzed, he said, take up your bed and walk. Your sins are forgiven. I'm on the scene. Atonement has just walked in the room, and your sins are forgiven, your disease is healed. Now take up your bed and walk. Do what you couldn't do. Why? Because healing has already been given through me. That's what Jesus was saying. I mean, think of it. He tells a dead man, Lazarus, come forth.
Yes.
And if you or I had been in that tomb, we might have been our staunch unbelief said, I can't, I'm dead. He told dead people to come forth.
Amen.
He told people to do things they couldn't do. Because
yes.
He is the resurrection.
Amen.
Number four. So number three is healing is a done deal. Healing is a finished work. Number four, healing is received in different ways. I'll just go quickly through this. I think we'll finish this today. Healing is received in different ways. A variety of treatments, you might say. You know, no doctor treats two cases exactly alike, does he? Because every human body is differently. Is different. Our chemistries are all different, so they treat us differently. Well, Jesus, in some case, placed his hands on people. What does that represent? When you place your hands in the Old Testament, when a priest placed his hands on the lamb, he was transferring the innocence of the lamb, or he would have it transferred, the innocence of the lamb to the sinner, and the sinner's sins transferred to the lamb, or the scapegoat. That's where we get the idea of scapegoat, because that goat would be turned loose in the wilderness. Right, so there's laying on of hands. When you lay hands on a sinner, is what you're really doing when you lay hands on them to bring them healing. You're saying Jesus brings you life. You're transferring life and forgiveness and healing to them, and not that you're taking their sin unto yourself, but by faith you're saying Jesus took this. Jesus took your sin. Jesus took your disease, and I'm bringing you life by putting my hands on you. I'm transferring by faith the life that comes through Jesus into your body now. That's what laying on of hands means. Sometimes Jesus would rebuke spirits. Sickness is a spirit, sometimes, not always. But the Bible says when he prayed for Peter's mother-in-law, he looked at Peter and said, no, I'm just kidding. I wasn't going to go into a mother-in-law joke there. He prayed for Peter's mother-in-law. And when he prayed for her, it's interesting, the wording there, it says he rebuked the fever. Now, he didn't always rebuke, but in this case, he rebuked the fever as if he was talking to a person or a thing. But the fever represented a thing, a spirit potentially. And Jesus rebuked that spirit. He rebuked the fever. So sometimes he rebukes. Sometimes he would command wholeness. When he touched the leper, he said, I will, be thou clean. Three words. He wouldn't speak in King James. He just said, be clean. Be clean. Sometimes he would just speak wholeness through his words. So sometimes when your husband, your wife comes to you and says, man, pray for me. I'm feeling sick in my body. You don't always have to pray some lengthy prayer. Sometimes you just lay hands on them and say, be whole.
Amen.
Be healed.
Amen.
Be strong.
Amen.
Be invigorated. Amen. That's what Jesus did sometimes. He would just say, be whole. Other times he would declare forgiveness of sins, like we read in Luke 5 to the man paralyzed. He said, your sins are forgiven. That's sometimes you need to listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit when you minister healing to somebody. They may have such a sin consciousness, and God may want them to know, you're forgiven.
Yes.
And just the release of those words, you're forgiven over them. Boom, the healing just comes.
Amen.
It did in Jesus' ministry. Another time he made a mud pack with spit, put it on a guy's eyes. Another time he stuck his fingers in a guy's ears. Smith Wigglesworth was a man who lived, he was from England, a plumber, turned Holy Ghost minister of the gospel. And Smith sometimes would punch people in the stomach. He was known for that. A woman would come up, some big tumor in her midsection, and he'd, boom. I just want y'all to know I'm a little rusty on my left hook this morning, so I'm not going to do that with any of you, just to make sure that you're not nervous about that. Now, I'm not going to take up that practice. But the people would ask him and say, what are you doing? And he'd say, well, you know, in the spirit, he saw himself defeating the devil in that person's body. And it didn't injure him, by the way. They got healed. They would fall down on the floor. Of course, he hit him pretty hard. This one lady hit. And he told the ushers, he said, pick her up again. They looked at him like, you're not going to hit this woman again. He said, I said, pick her up. If you never heard the story, you can read about it. But it's great. He got him healed. He didn't injure anybody. He got him healed. But that's a very unique way to minister healing to people. But it does work in the right case. Another way is word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will tell me in a service, and we've had this happen before many times, and people, you know, God will just say, I'm healing backs today. Well, before we ever pray for them, God will, many times, he'll just heal them. The word of knowledge tells us what God's already doing, amen? But sometimes just speaking it out releases faith in the atmosphere or seals the present, puts a bow on the present, if you will, and seals the deal. So word of knowledge many times ministers healing. Taking communion. Taking communion is a way for you to receive your healing ongoingly. You got something that's been long-term in your body, take communion regularly, and every time you take it, say, I'm receiving my healing through Jesus. I'm receiving my healing. Forgiveness of sins, forgiving others. Forgiving others. The Bible clearly teaches us that when we allow our heart to be unforgiving toward others, we open the door for Satan in our own life. God didn't do it. Amen? But you can literally, as a believer, now this, listen, you need to be assured of this. You have authority over sickness. But you also have authority to open the door wide open for Satan in your life. And don't do it. But if you judge or hold unforgiveness or a grudge toward somebody, you are opening the door. So don't be surprised at what comes in when you open that bad door. Okay? Don't do it. Amen. But forgiveness sometimes will release healing in people's life. Just forgive all. Amen. Because God forgave you. Forgiveness is a way to release healing. Of course, in church, James 5:14 says, let them call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil. Sometimes we'll do that here at the front. Many times, just because it's church, I don't know, it just feels right. But we'll anoint you with oil. I don't do it in every case, but usually I do. The oil represents God's touch on your life, the Holy Spirit touching you. So anointing with oil is another way. Declaring the word. Declaring the word of God. If you're taking notes, Romans 10, 9 and 10 and Proverbs 4, 20 talk about how the word is medicine. You got saved by declaring the word. You can get healed by declaring the word. Amen. Dodie Osteen years ago was healed of liver cancer, I believe it was. It was pretty stage four. Metastatic, however you say that, liver cancer. And she went home and she got in the Bible. She found every verse she could find on healing. She read it daily. She took it like medicine. And as she spoke that word over her body, it became literally medicine to, because Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 says, it's life to those who find them. It's health to all their flesh. Amen. So that's another way you can be healed, through just speaking the word over your body. Speak it, speak it, speak it. I talked to someone recently who had an injury that was still being healed. And they said, I went home yesterday and I think he read like 20 chapters in the book of Matthew. And he said, by the end of the day, that wound was starting to close just by reading Matthew, just by reading the word. The word is life. It's medicine to you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. One last point on healing. My last point today, healing is a process. Healing is a process. You know, Jesus told the parable that in the parable of the sower that sometimes we would reap 30, 60, 100 fold. Amen. And I love that comparison that when you're reaping 30%, if you're believing for healing in your body, you've been sick for a long while, and you get prayed for, and all of a sudden some change happens, but it's not all at once. Well, you're 30% better.
Amen.
Well, that means you still got 70% sickness, mm-hmm. right? So the sickness is still the majority rule in the body at the moment, but when it shifts to 60-fold, now you're 60% better. How much sickness is remaining? 40%. Ah, you've turned a corner. Amen? You've turned a corner. Your body has switched into a majority mode toward healing. But of course, the goal is 100%. Amen? 100%. Don't quit till you reach the goal. Praise the Lord. Now, we read, we didn't read this. Oh, we got to. That's really good. One last verse real quick. It's the healing of the lepers. Somehow I passed that up. I'm sorry? Matthew 8. I need 18. Is that the 10 lepers? I'm looking for the 10 lepers. Who knows? This is Bible trivia moment here. The healing of the 10 lepers. Anybody got the chapter? Okay. That's all right. We'll skip that. All right. Let me tell you what I was going to share with you on that. Jesus had 10 lepers come to him. They cried out from a distance. He said, Master, have mercy on us. He said, what do you want me to do? Heal us. He said, go and show yourselves to the priest. 10 lepers. And the Bible says, as they turned and as they went, they were healed. Now, why did they go to the priest? Why would Jesus tell them to do that? It's kind of like in our modern day, it would be like saying, go back and get another x-ray. And you go, well, nothing's happened yet. Well, by them going, they were exercising their faith at his command. Amen? Faith was exercised in them going. And as they went, every step they took, disease was coming off their body. Amen? This wound was closing up. This skin was being restored. And as they went, by the time they got to the priest, man, they were whole. And the priest declared them whole. That was an Old Testament law that when a leper, if they had been cleansed, they had to be declared by the priest, you're clean, you're cured. All right? It'd be like in today's world, again, giving us a clean bill of health. Amen? And so Jesus sent them, and as they went, healing, my fifth point again is, healing is a process. Healing is a process. As they went, they were healed. Amen? Sometimes God will give you an instruction, and as you obey that instruction, the healing comes. Are you with me?
Yes.
Listen, I don't care if you've been prayed for 20 times. 21 may be the deal breaker right there. If God says, go up and get prayed for one more time. There have been people who have testimonies like that. They said, oh, Lord, I'm embarrassed. I've been prayed for so much for this. But on that last time that they went up, that was the deal breaker right there. It broke the camel's back, so to say. Broke the enemy's back in their life in that regard. So that last time you go up for prayer might do it all. I want to read a real quick testimony from Christ the Healer to you. This is so powerful. In the back of this book, and we feature this book regularly on our table. Do we have some out today, by the way?
Just two.
Two. Okay, it's two copies left. Get yours today. For a limited time only. Now, we stock this regularly. This is such a powerful book. You ought to read through it once a year. Just feed on it constantly. It's such good material when it comes to healing. But Christ the Healer, in the back of the book are all these amazing testimonies. This book was written like in 1920-something, 1924, I think, by F.F. Bosworth. And F.F. ministered healing to thousands of people. He saw amazing miracles. Listen to this one from a lady from Canada, Miss Nix. It's called The Healing of Miss Nix. I'll read it quickly. In October, I was healed by the power of God from, and she lists her diseases here, get a load of this, from cancer, sugar diabetes, enlargement of the heart, a twisted spine, almost total paralysis from the hips to the feet, the condition of being a nervous wreck, and of almost total blindness. I mean, does it get any worse? This lady had it all. I had suffered from the cancer for 1.5 years and from the other troubles for 7 years. I walked only with crutches, and when I went out, I was in a wheelchair. The doctor who treated me said a few weeks ago I had been one of the greatest sufferers he had ever known. About the 12th of October, I had a bad spell and sent for the doctor. He said that I had about 10 days to live and no more. And October the 15th, a little man who was in the habit of bringing my newspaper came to the door and inquired as to my condition. He asked to see me, but was told that I undoubtedly would not recognize him. Before he went out, I knew him, but was unable to speak to him. He said, Mrs. Killick, who had been healed of a terrible cancer, is coming here. Would you like to see her? And I nodded assent. She came to see me and told me that God wanted to heal me. She read the Bible to me and prayed, but I do not remember now what she said. She sang a hymn, and I do remember what it was. Quote, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Any of you know that one all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good old hymn. She departed saying that she'd come back again that night. I lay in bed thinking, and when my friend who was taking care of me came in, I said, if God has healed that woman, he will heal me.
Amen.
That's a good meditation right there. Her faith came alive, praise the Lord. I asked the Lord what he would have me do, and I heard him say plainly, put on your shoes and stockings. My friend said, dear, you cannot get up. But she brought the shoes and stockings. She lifted my foot to dress it, and I felt no difference. But the moment the stocking touched my foot, I felt the power of God touch my body. It started at my feet, just where I was obeying the command, and spread all over my body. I got up on my feet, although I had not stood alone for 4 years. Then I asked to have my clothes brought to me, and I dressed alone. I walked into the bedroom and did up my hair. My friend asked, what are you going to do now? I said that I was going to help her get supper. She asked me what I was going to eat, and I told her the same as she was. Previously, I had eaten only eggs and orange juice. I just ate what she ate. I went to bed at 9 and slept until 6 in the morning. I could not stay in bed, but got up, ate breakfast, washed the dishes, and asked God what he would like me to do to glorify him. I heard him say, wax the floor. The tempter said, you cannot do that. You have not been on your knees for years. I waxed the floor from end to end, and Mrs. Killick saw it completed when she returned in the afternoon. She said, I'm going to give my testimony in the Little Salvation Army Hall. Will you give yours? She offered to get a car to take me down, but I refused and walked all the way. When I reached there, the power of God so overcame me, I could not speak. I remained but a few moments. From that hour to this, God has given me strength and guided my steps. Last summer, I had charge of one of the largest summer homes of the Anglican Church. I often worked from 6 in the morning until 2 or 3 o'clock the next morning. I have been feeling perfectly well since, and my healing since, I have been feeling perfectly well ever since my healing, except for an attack of pneumonia, from which the Lord delivered me without the aid of medicine or a physician. My testimony has been a means of blessing to many. Some of the girls attending my own little mission hall, which I was led to open in faith, have been converted and healed through it. Do you wonder that I love God? She says. He has blessed me spiritually as well as physically, and I am sure I am the happiest woman on earth. Better than my own healing, he has used me mightily to tell others what he has done for me. Many have been wonderfully healed. Miss R. Nix, Toronto, Canada. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? I mean, this lady had the whole kitchen sink, as far as diseases, but God touched her. Praise the Lord. Through the testimony of one woman. God can touch others through your testimony. So powerful. So powerful.